A Synopsis of the Soul's Awakening. Hilary has offered to Benedictus and his students a factory and business he owns in mountainous surroundings. It includes, as we can assume, a complex of buildings, a sawmill, and a factory for producing wooden articles and furniture. The idea is to let Stoddard be the guiding hand for the technical tasks ahead, with Thomasius as his artistic advisor, while the others will create a center for spiritual science. The first difficulty that arises is the unexpected opposition of the business manager, a close and loyal associate of Hilary. We witness a sharp confrontation he has with Hilary and Stoddard, ending with the words of Stoddard, quote, "That will come which has to come about," unquote. The next three scenes have as their background a mountainous landscape, still untouched by modern civilization. Elemental beings are part of it, and soul and spirit entities reveal themselves to those whose inner training has made them sensitive and receptive to the supersensible realities around and about them. The three main characters of the drama, Johannes, Capasius, and Stoddard, experience, each in his own way, a crisis which is decisive for their individual development. Johannes feels the young artist is reawakened in him. Maria guides this introverted tendency of his toward a realization of his soul qualities as the result of elemental and cosmic forces from outside. He encounters the spirit of his youth, a karmically enchanted part of his being that he has to liberate from its spellbound existence. Capasius is, through an unexpected clairvoyant experience, thrown back upon himself and seeks complete solitude, shunning the duties which the new project had in store for him. Stoddard goes through the severest test. He meets his own abyss. This is a situation which everyone has to face, who connects himself, first in meditative thoughts, then in unfolding imaginations, with the dominant power of opposition to spirit development. Ahriman. Interwoven with these trials are conversations among Hilary and his friends, reflecting the conflict aroused through their doubts of Stoddard's ability. These doubts are obstructively voiced by the business manager. Scene 4 ends with an event that is purely supersensible in character. It is the beginning of a retrospect by Maria into the time before birth, the decisive time when the preparation of a new earthly incarnation begins. The next two scenes reveal certain culminating moments in the life between death and a new birth. The soul spheres of most of the individualities portrayed in the drama touch each other first of all in the sun sphere. Then a few of the characters prove mature enough to experience an awakening at the actual cosmic midnight hour within the Saturn sphere. Scene 6. It lies now in the current of these retrospects that a most decisive moment in an earthly incarnation in the distant past can emerge, an act of initiation at the time of ancient Egypt, in which all are involved. Scenes 7 and 8. This is, however, only accessible in full consciousness to the souls of Maria and Johannes, under the guidance of Benedictus. The original title of the fourth play was Maria's and Johannes's Awakening of the Soul. It referred specifically to the fact that they are the only ones who penetrate consciously to the karmic secrets emanating from this Egyptian initiation scene, Maria as the neophyte, Johannes as the woman who is guilty of taking part in the temple rites by putting herself in a trance-like state. The spirit of Johannes' youth has its origin in this situation. Capasius' overpowering longing for solitude, but also his intensive reaction to Benedictus' guidance, here find their explanations in his courageous attitude as Egyptian high priest. Both of the following meditation scenes, scenes 9 and 10, with their atmosphere of quiet after the stormy finale of the Egyptian happening, bring to light the fact that the true awakening happens only in Maria and Johannes. With scene 11, the tragedy in which Stoddard becomes more and more involved gains momentum. Scene 12 reveals the spirit background through the gigantic figure of Ahriman and his machinations. This scene, although conditioned by the plot of the play, reveals the characteristics of the Ahrimanic intrigues in our time, an increasing use of power over the human mind. In scene 13, Hilary's conversation with Romanus already shows the effects of Ahriman's interference. They have heard that Strader grows uncertain of the feasibility of his recently invented machine. Romanus hints that such a crisis must be met with the courage and insight that springs from initiation wisdom. He quotes mantric words, which he himself once spoke at the western altar of the Sun Temple, The Soul's Probation, scene 13. In the remaining scenes, 14 and 15, the tragedy leads to Strader's inner victory over doubt and defeat, although it is a victory he has to pay for with death. His leaving the physical body strengthens his spirit influence on his friends. This shows itself in the inspiration Capasius receives, which will help to liberate him from his tendency toward an introverted mysticism. It shows itself in the warm enthusiasm through which the wife of Hilary lets us feel Strader's spirit presence. The last lines of the play, spoken by Benedictus, have become the last ones of the mystery dramas, because a fifth play, planned for 1914, never could materialize. The lines ending the fourth play, written in 1913, today sound prophetic. Strader's light shall shine at such times too, when, over full awakened spirit light, the fierce dark Ahriman, suppressing wisdom, attempts to spread chaos's gloomy night. The end of the synopsis. End of this section.